If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn and I'm your host. Today's episode is part two of the interview that Trish Jenkins did with me last week. If you missed it, I recommend that you listen to part one before you listen to part two. Now, if you're ready for part two, sit down and buckle up. It's going to be a wild finish.
What was that emotional state like then, and then how you moved forward in that? Was that hard? Were you angry? Did you have fits of whatever, or what happened there?
That's a great question. I'm happy you asked me that question. I got home that day at 5:30 in the afternoon. It was a long day, right? Remember, I got to the building at 8:40. I got home at 5:30 in the afternoon. There were 20 people in my living room, neighbors, friends, and I had no less than 100 phone messages. People just called because, everybody knew. Yeah. All right. And I learned something that day, very important. You have no idea how many friends you really have until they all think you're dead.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
But look, I was alive. I came in. I hugged and kissed my wife. And, everybody was, wanted to hear the story, et cetera. By the time everybody left and whatnot, it was like 11:30 at night. And my wife looked at me and she said to me, now that everybody's gone, I have a very serious question to ask. I said, what is it? She goes, are you getting paid on Friday? I'm like, I don't know. She goes, do you need to look for a new job?
Well,
I don't know. But those were like my wife's initial reaction after the, everything calmed down. And then legitimate questions.
It is.
Now, what people don't realize is I didn't sleep for a month after that.
Okay.
I didn't sleep for a month. I was living on Ambien. I was super, super paranoid. Okay. When I used to leave my, during that first month, and literally it was for a month. Okay. When I would go outside, when I would go to work, right, I would open my door, right. I would look up and down the street to see if there was anybody there, if there was anybody suspicious looking, whatever. And once I thought it was clear, then I would walk out of the house.
And that wouldn't have been helped by the, because I remember and we're here in Australia, and the headlines were that America is at war, more or less.
Right.
It was that people, you're in a city that you would have imagined that you were literally under attack.
Right.
Is that why you were? At war? Is the enemy coming?
I'm going to tell you that there was a lot more to the story, but I literally thought at one point during the course of the day that something specific happened, and I thought in my mind, they missed me at the Trade Center because I made it out. They're going to get me over here.
Wow.
That is literally what was going through my mind. I was so paranoid. When I tell you I was paranoid, and you know what? My wife was twice as paranoid as I was. That night, 3:30 in the morning, right, which didn't bother me because I wasn't sleepy anyway, my phone rang. And my wife says, don't answer it. It could be terrorists.
Wow, that's incredible. That's so – and you weren't alone. It was so many people, and we have – Diane sharing, she remembers where she was and she had helped plan the memorial, she'd said, and
wow,
no one will forget that moment.
No.
So it's just incredible because it wasn't that long ago. And if you were living in that city, I hadn't really thought about how everybody would feel every day, feeling like, we're under attack.
For sure.
We were kind
For
of
sure.
observing from our end of the planet and thinking, well, we're in an alliance with the US, so I guess that means we'll have to go to war too, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But my goodness,
I'll never forget. Right? My phone rang at 3:30 in the morning. My wife thought it was terrorists. I said, Joyce, it's not terrorists. I picked up the phone, and it turns out it was some guy from an Israeli radio station
who called me
to ask if I spoke Hebrew, which I do, and wanted to know if he can interview me. He heard that I survived 9/11. And I said to him, first of all, it's 3:30 in the morning. He goes, I know, I'll call you back. You know, can I call you back at like 6:30? I go, no, I go to services. If you want, call me back at 5:30 and I'll do the interview. He said, okay. I said, how did you get my number? He goes, oh, I work with somebody who's very friendly with your mom, and she gave us the number.
Oh.
Wait. I hung up the phone with him because my mom lives in Israel. I hung up the phone with him and I called my mom in Israel and I said, Ma, did you give some radio guy my phone number? She goes, yeah, Sheila Harris's son works with, came home and asked her if she knew anybody who was at the towers. And I told her, I don't, but why don't you call Sarah Schoenbrunn? Her son, I think, works there. And he did. And she gave my number. I said, Ma. She says, yeah, but I told him not to call you now because it's 3:30 in the morning. You know, he should wait. And I said to her, Ma, the guy sitting on the story of the century, did you really think he wasn't going to pick up the phone and call me right then and there? Well, I told him not to.
Oh, there you go. And it was such a frightening time because as Diane, there was the plane crash into the Pentagon around the same time as well.
Yeah, everything happened.
All in the one day.
Everything happened, not only in the one day, everything happened within, you have to remember something. The hijackers hijacked four planes. Every single one of them was going to the West Coast.
Ooh.
Okay, every one of them was going to the West Coast. So why did they pick those planes? Because they had the most jet fuel.
Right.
That's why. Right. So, and all of them left early in the morning. So they all left around the same time. So everything happened around the same time. You know, first the one plane went into the tower, then the second plane went into the tower, you know, 15 minutes apart. Then the Pentagon was hit. And then the plane went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But everything happened within a couple of hours. I mean, it wasn't over a course of a day. It was over the course of a couple of hours.
It is, and they plan it like that so that when one starts, then when the emergency workers turn up, they do something else to catch them as well. I mean, it was just wicked, just demonic, really. And as Diane said, never forget. And you do have tributes to firefighters and police. And, yeah, bless you and keep telling your story. And not just that, you know, there's the firefighters and the police, and then there's ordinary people like yourself who do something extraordinary, and it's that the human spirit is just incredible, and it's so good. Just let's see, we had, and there was one apparently one over in Cleveland as well. Thanks, Sharon. Yeah, there's just, my goodness, there's so much that goes on, and we kind of feel like there's nothing else that happens, but there's all sorts of things that happen all over the country that take people by surprise and cause trauma. You know, whether you have school shootings and all that sort of thing, and there's always someone, you know, there's people like yourself who are there picking someone up off the ground and getting them to safety. And it's tragic that those things happen, but it is inspiring that you know, the human spirit is such that there are people who – now you've got those people, you've got the other side of people who will just go along and pick the pockets of the dead. And you know, and it's just like, oh my goodness. But it's good to remember that most people most of the time will rise up to the challenge and do the decent thing.
Just the thing incredible. That saddens me the most is I remember what the 6 months afterwards was like in the US. All right.
Yeah.
It was, we were a united nation.
Yeah.
It was, everybody was, you know, it was all for one and one for all. It was, you know, we were flared, the flags were flying and everybody was nice. And, you know, we were a united nation. Okay. And, you know, I look around today And I say, oh, how far have we sunk where, you know, we're so divided, you know, left, right, center, everybody, black, white. I mean, it's so disheartening. And you know what? If people would only remember what it was like, you know, back then, if they could just, you know, picture it in your mind and remember what was going on at the time and how we came together. All right. I always hope that there's help, that there is hope for this country and the world at large. You know, I firmly believe that there is hope. All right. But the people have to step up, and the people in charge have to step up, and they have to say, enough with the fighting, enough with it. You know, we need to come together and not just talk the talk. They got to walk the walk. Yeah. All right. It's very easy to say, oh, we got to be united. Yeah. But you know what? Start doing something that shows that we're on the right path. I pray, you know, look, I pray. Like I said, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I go to services 3 times a day. I pray to God every day. And I said, you know, please make it better. You know, yeah. I'm trying to do my part. All right. It's like, I got to deal with him. You know, I said, God, I'm going to do my part. You do your part. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're right. You're right. And I'm a faith person too, as you know, and I often pray along those lines. And I think one of the things that I learned when I was in prison, and I was with these people who were so difficult and their behavior was so, you know, often quite really awful. And yet I was wearing, you know, we see there's us and there's them. You know, we have there's us who are our demographic, and then there's them, you know, who are the bad guys, or they're just that other demographic that we don't get along with. And it depersonalizes them, it dehumanizes them. And I found I looked down, I'm in the same uniform. Suddenly I was them, and so I had to see differently. And one of the things I did in my faith walk was I said, God, show me how to see this and how to see them. And I started to see past the exterior and see the person and the heart that was there, the hurting. Aggression is based in fear. It's all fear. And if you can see past that, you can connect with someone. And that's, I love what you've said about, you know, we've got to stop having all this stuff going on and connect with one another like you would have like 20 years ago, with that 6-month period where people looked past their own busyness and they see each other, and they would hug strangers in the street. Now, probably a little weird to go and hug strangers in the street these days, you know, but to really see and connect. And I guess that's why you and I had this bond. Now, you know, what I went through was nothing compared to you, although we can't really compare. But we've both had that eye-opening experience of seeing each other and seeing that connection and the humanity. And it's just such a powerful thing. My goodness, Ari. And then so as you... As that period of time went on and you got less jumpy, presumably, and you were invited to tell your story a few weeks later. It was very soon.
It was.
Tell us about how that came about.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was very soon afterwards. What happened was, you know, my friends, I told my friends my story, whatever. And, one of my friends came over to me and said to me that her son's high school was having their annual dinner. Mm. And they were going to, the theme was going to be 9/11, and they were going to have a panel. They were going to have a panel of people. One was going to be the head of the, was a volunteer ambulance corps that showed up there. And there was an American Airlines pilot. And then they wanted me to round out the panel. And that dinner was November 3rd, all right? So September 11th happened on September 11th. And then November 3rd, they had the dinner. And it was originally supposed to be just like Q&A with the audience, but it turned out that each one of us had to speak for like 15 minutes. So I spoke for about, you know, and I went last, which was really difficult because these other two guys had such great stories and I didn't think my story was that great. But I, that was the first time that I told my story in a public forum. And it obviously had an effect on some people because the dean of the school called me the next day and asked me if I would come to give my talk to the school, to the kids. And, you know, I absolutely did it. You know, it was a neighborhood school, so I absolutely did it. And then about 2 weeks after that, I get a phone call from some woman who says to me, my name is so-and-so, and I work for an organization called Echo. And we're having our annual tea. We'd like you to come and speak. And I'm going like, who are you? What is Echo? And how'd you get my number? And she said, my son was in the school where you spoke, and one of the kids taped the talk, and he played it for me. And when I heard the tape, she said, I picked up the phone, I called you. And that was the beginning, and that's how it started. That, you know, and, you know, we talked a little bit before the show. We talked about, you know, therapy and the like. And I mentioned to you, I never went to therapy. I didn't talk to anybody. I don't know if I suffer from PTSD or not. But what I do know is, as I started telling my story more and more, it started to sink in, you know, the magnitude of what had happened, right? Because I firmly believe that I was probably in shock when it first happened, all right? And I didn't realize. But as time wore on and it wore off, then I realized the magnitude of what had happened, all right? And it was really therapeutic for me to tell my story. And so the more I told my story, the better I felt. The more that I inspired people, the more I was inspired. I did the following year, I did a tour, a speaking tour in the UK, and I spent a week in the UK and I spoke in 15 venues over the course of a week. Wow. And the guy who brought me over there said, you know, what did you think? How was it? Whatever. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I got more out of this week than any audience I spoke to. And he said to me, you have no idea the impact that you had on the people that you spoke to. It was incredible.
I found the same thing with speaking. When I would share my story and people appreciated it, there was healing in it for me. Not that you do your therapy on a platform and bleed in front of everyone, but I think, you know, people listening and watching, and you've been through things, sure, you don't necessarily have to become a professional speaker and go around telling everyone. But there's healing in sharing. If you bottle it up, if you squash it down, pretend it never happened, it will spurt out in different ways, and it might spurt out in ways that are not helpful, in anger, in alcoholism, your mind needs to process and it needs to cope. And if you don't want to, I didn't want to burden my family with telling them the horrible things, you know, certain things that I'd gone through while incarcerated, but there were other people. And sometimes I chose the wrong people to share with and it really didn't go well. You've got to be wise who you share with, but I want to encourage you, if something's happened to you, you've been through something, talk to your fellas, I know you don't like talking about your feelies, but you've got to get with your mates and share, you know, what you've been through, because I bet if they'd been through something and they needed to talk, I bet you would be there for them. So be a good friend to yourself and talk to someone, get some help. Don't talk to the people who want to compete with you for tragedy and they want to outdo you. Like when women sit around talking about birth stories, it's almost like a competition. Oh, dear God, save us from that. Get some help if you need it, because your family needs you. Everybody needs you back, and there's value in it. You've got gifts inside you, just as Ari has, the gift inside him. The tragedy, you know, my book is called Treasures of Darkness, because treasure is found in the dark places. It's not just lying out on the street. And it's actually, Ari, it's from Isaiah 45:3, that I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you would know that I, the Lord, am the God of Israel, who calls you by name. You know, he calls us by name. So, you know, this is not a religious program, this one. I do have a YouTube that is for ministry. But, you know, spirituality is part of who we are. And you get whatever help you need to, you find that help. just as Ari has shared his story. And, you know, thank you so much for it. I just, you know, Diane's saying thank you. And here's a question from Sharon.
Yeah.
What would be the biggest benefit that you got after all that happened, given it was an awful experience?
Sure.
It's a good question.
It was a life-changing experience. I remember prior to 9/11, I had a very short fuse. I used to fly off the handle at the drop of a hat. You know, I was a yeller. I was a screamer, you know, at work. And, you know, I used to yell at everybody and things just ticked me off. So, and even at home, you know, it didn't take much to set me off. And after this experience, I went like, you know, hey, you know, life's too short. Life's too short. And I changed. I literally changed. Now, I'm going to tell you something, deep, dark secret, okay? I didn't change overnight, okay? I was the same guy on Wednesday that I was on Tuesday. I just lost 658 friends and coworkers. But it took about 8 months until it really, really set in, and that's why my life changed and stayed changed for the better. You know, very often you have a life – altering experience, right? And right away, it's like, you know, I'm going to become a monk, or I'm going to become a priest, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, whatever. And then 2 days later, you're back to where you started from. You know why? Because you wanted to do so much so quickly. It doesn't work that way. It's got to come slowly. And as it comes slowly, it sinks in little by little. And that's how you affect that change. Right. I talk about change all the time.
I love that. That's you do. And while we're here, I would like to share with people what you're currently doing. There are two websites. One is for your speaking, and I'd like to bring that up now. So we will. This is Ari Schonbrunn's website, which is Ari Schonbrunn. Where are we? I want to make sure I'm going to put your website's going across the bottom as well. So you get that spelling, ArishonBrunn.com. So this is Ari's speaking website. You can see some videos of interviews there. If you are connected with a group that has, or an organization or a business that, or a conference organization that would like to have Ari come and speak, he would be totally inspiring. As you know, he is a member of National Speakers Association. So he has got the credibility that, well, he absolutely has anyway. So you can see more videos, him in the news. You can connect with Ari through his contact page and maybe go on his mailing list to be kept informed of what's going on there. And the other one is his Whispers and Bricks podcast. So Ari has got a pod, which he has already interviewed me on. It's called Whispers and Bricks. And Ari, tell us why you called it Whispers and Bricks.
Oh, great. It came about from a story that I heard and that I tell very often at the end of my talk. But the reality is that, you know, they say that God whispers to our minds and he whispers to our hearts. All right. He's constantly there for us. All right. The problem is that very often we ignore those whispers. Either we don't have time to deal with it, we don't think about it, whatever. So every so often, in order to wake us up, he throws a brick at us to wake us up and said, hey, dummy, listen, right? So I tell people, I got hit with the brick on 9/11, okay? But for most of my audience, they have a choice. They can either listen to the whispers or wait for the bricks. So on my podcast, I talk to people that have had bricks thrown at them and how they managed to overcome those bricks and how they managed to, you know, get back to, or, you know, go on, you know, continue on in life with their, with the issues that they have, realizing, of course, that those issues, at the end of the day, there are certainly a lot of other people that have it a lot worse. But it's also very inspiring for the people listening that said, wait, that happened to me too. All right. And if they can get out of it, I can get out of it. You know, and that's why I started Whispers and Bricks, because I just wanted to help people overcome whatever it is. Because you know what? Most people think that they're alone. When something's going on in their life, they think it's only happening to them and they're the only ones in the world that's going through it. And that's wrong. They're not. All right. And that's what my guests, you know, portray. And they tell them, you're not the only one going through this. All right. Trust me. I know, because I'm going through it. And when people see somebody else, you know, they say, you know, there's comfort in numbers. You know, people see others going through it and they get comforted by that. They realize, hey, it's not just me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true, and I love hearing those stories. They're just so encouraging, and you know, to connect with people like that. There is one more question here. Diane is asking, "Are you?" I think she means involved with
Tuesday's Children. No, I am not involved with Tuesday's Children. I know the guy who actually started it, but I never got involved. I am involved, if you're interested to know, I am involved with an organization called Strength to Strength.
Okay.
And that is a nonprofit organization that they work with victims of terror globally.
Wow.
It was started by a young lady who was actually on a bus in Jerusalem when a suicide bomber got on the bus and blew himself up. Like 6 feet from where she was sitting, and everybody else around her died, and she was the only one that survived. And at the end of the day, she started this organization, Strength to Strength, and they work with, like I said, victims of terror around the world. They have special programs for young adults. They have programs for older people. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. I sit on their board. It took her 2 years to convince me, but ultimately, I agreed, and I sit on their board, and we just did a 5K run fundraiser. It's a great, great organization, you know, and that's the organization I'm involved with. So Tuesday's Children, no. Strength to Strength, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's just awesome. Yeah, there's, and it's great. Once again, so many people rise up to create organizations that help, and that's that human spirit.
100%.
At work, as we are. Ari, it has been so brilliant talking with you. Thank you for being on our show. And I want to encourage people to reach out and have Ari speak at your group, particularly if it's a conference that's got, you know, like a larger organization that can really make an impact, then that would be great to have Ari along. Subscribe to his Whispers and Bricks. I do. I've signed up for that, and I was pleased and honored to be one of his guests for one of the episodes. So that was great. But Ari, I love your heart, and thank you for your vulnerability and being so honest in sharing your story, but not only your story, but how you felt through it and what it took to be resilient and the value that you bring to other people. So thanks so much for joining us today. And thank you, everyone. Remember to subscribe and like and share and all those things. And it's just been wonderful to have you.
Trish, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me, and I appreciate you allowing me to tell my story, you know, to try and inspire other people, you know, halfway around the world. It's amazing. Technology is a wonderful thing. You can inspire people around the world without leaving your desk.
You can. It's been absolutely brilliant. Stick around, Ari, and
you've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Schoenbrunn. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.